Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. Coming to you from Los Angeles, California. The Doug Gottlieb Show is brought to you by Farmers at Farmers. We've seen almost everything, so we know how to cover almost anything. When it's game time, have an experienced player help you stay at the game. Put their experience into play at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, bum,
bum, bum, bum, bum. Hey, welcome in. Hope you had a great night watching the Jets and their third-string quarterback hang around with the Cleveland Browns. I guess I'm supposed to sit here and tell you that I was amazed. But I knew Odell Beckham Jr. could play, didn't you? It was all the other stuff. And we'll get into this a little bit later. Chris Sims is going to join us in like 15 minutes. Former NFL quarterback, Pro Football Talk, Football Night in America. And we're going to get into this where I was kind of underwhelmed by Baker Mayfield. Anybody else? I'm not saying that he stinks, but he wasn't great against a depleted Jets team. One that had almost no offense and gave him ample opportunities to make plays. A little bit confused early. We'll get into that in a little bit. The story of the day is Eli Manning has been benched. This statement from Pat Shurmur, head coach of the New York Giants. Eli and I spoke this morning. I told him we're making a change and going with Daniel Jones, as the starter. Eli was obviously disappointed, as you would expect, but he said he would be what he always has been, a good teammate, and continue to prepare to help this team win games. Daniel understands the challenge at hand, and he'll be ready to play Sunday. And so I was thinking about what we've seen here, a succession of events. We've seen Drew Brees and Ben Roethlisberger both get hurt on Sunday. We've seen Eli be benched because of ineptitude. Philip Rivers made a terrible decision, but there have been times in which Philip Rivers has looked a little bit old, not as spiteful, although he still has lots of juice in the tank. And then there's Tom Brady, who's older than all of them. And seems to be healthier than all of them. And I was thinking about must-use-by dates on food. How much do you guys stick to those must-use-by dates on food? You know, you're supposed to use it or throw it away. And I think it's kind of a general guide, right? And there are certain things which are more perishable than others. Like, look, you can look at the date, but you open up some chicken and you're like, jeez, throw it away. Sometimes you open it up and it's 50-50. And if it's just you, you know, and you and the dog on a Friday night, you're like, I'll cook the hell out of it. It'll be fine. Same thing with a steak. The steak's like gray, but still kind of red in the middle. You're like, doesn't stink too bad. Fine. Still got marks where the jockey was hitting it. But I feel like Eli Manning and these quarterbacks, like, look, these are perishable goods. They're perishable goods. And if Eli was milk, you know, I don't even think he's milk because milk is too perishable, doesn't last that long. But it's like, any of you guys into almond milk or soy milk? You keep soy milk too long, and you're like, well, it's soy milk. It's not real milk. How could it be bad? Like, real milk, when it goes bad, like, oh, whoa. That's like a running back. You know, finite amount of time, and once they hit 30, it's over. It's completely done. A quarterback like Eli Manning's more like soy milk. You open it up, you're like, well, it smells okay. Looks okay. I'll just shake it up and use it. And then you pour it out, and all of a sudden there's a lump in it. You're like, ew, that's not that great. But you're like, ah, could the lump be bad for me? It's just soybeans. It's just soybeans. And that's essentially what the Giants went into the season with. They knew the born-on date. They knew when they should use it by. They knew they should have moved on 2 years ago. Remember, 2 years ago, different coach, different GM, different president. They were like, yeah, we got to get other guys ready to play. They did it for 1 week, started Geno Smith. New York fans and former Giants lost their minds because they hate Geno Smith. And they chickened out and fired everybody except for Eli. 2 years ago, they opened up the soy milk and poured it out and saw a lump. And they're like, ah, we can still use it. It's fine. Just shake it more vigorously. Now you open it up and pour it onto your Cheerios. You're like, that is disgusting. There's no chance I'm eating that ever again. Whereas Brady feels like he's cheese. Right? Where he actually seems to be getting better with age. Most cheeses get, you know, most things in life, the stinkier they get, the worse they are. But a stinky cheese, you get a little mold on it, you just cut it off. Damn it, if Brady's hair's not better, his skin looks better. His teeth, clearly, he's had some whitening done, right? His teeth are better. Like, I don't know what's going on with Tom Brady doing the Benjamin Button thing, but that dude looks good. I feel like he's cheese. You know, you go into Whole Foods, and you're like, wait, aged cheese is better? Everything else, the whole deal with Whole Paycheck, Whole Foods, is the fresher, the better, except for cheese, which is what Tom Brady is. You know, Big Ben feels like yogurt. He does. Feels like yogurt. Been good for a long time. Still kind of works, but are you really going to risk going into the yogurt now? And Philip Rivers feels like bread. Right? Where it doesn't mean that bread isn't usable when it gets older. You just got to use it for different things. Where you, okay, now we're going to use it. We're going to microwave it to soften it up. Or maybe we'll use it for some croutons now that it's hardened up. But eventually, that bread goes bad. These are all perishable items. None of them are canned foods. None of them are Twinkies, right? Twinkies, cockroaches, wrestlers, they're the only ones that will survive the aging process and the nuclear holocaust. That's not what quarterbacks are. Quarterbacks are humans. They're football players. They're perishable goods. And it feels like the Giants looked at the label and like, we can risk it. We'll be fine. What are the chances? And between Roethlisberger, Breeze, and Eli Manning, for different reasons, they look and feel older and feel like they held on to them way too long. And now you got to go in and clean out your refrigerator, and now it gets really, really hard. Yeah, got to clean it out, got to throw it out, got to scrub it out. Now I got to go back and find just the perfect next thing to fill up. That's hard to do. Perishable items. The Giants moving on is a big thing, but it's something they knew they should have done going back 2 years ago. 2 years ago. Oh, we got a lot to get to. I feel bad for Trevor Siemian. He lasted all of like one half. Cam Newton sitting out practice. Don't know when he'll play. All sorts of quarterback issues. By the way, it does feel like Cam Newton and Andrew Luck are more like chicken. Right? More like chicken. Where, you know, they're about 30 years old. Like, they should be fine. Look good. And then you open up the package like, whoa! I just bought this chicken. It's like, Brady's 42. I just cut off a little mold and he tastes better. I open you up fresh out of the pack. No, never, ever. Like, whole chicken, you know, you get the gizzards in there, you pull that sucker out. But you don't even get to that. You open up that. Whoa! Andrew Luck, As soon, Andrew Luck is kind of like my wife. The second it starts to smell just a little bit different, I'm done. I'm out. And it feels like we know where this Cam Newton story goes. We're just, you know, Carolina's going to cook it. It'll be fine. Throw in the deep fryer.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Chris Sims joins us from NBC Sports. Your thoughts on how Baker Mayfield has played so far?
Yeah, I hear you there. I mean, it's certainly not been his best football. I don't think there's, you know, any denying that at this point. I think there's you know, one common theme I thought I saw with both games, and really this kind of went into preseason game number three with Baker Mayfield, just to talk about, he has been a little off since preseason game three in Tampa Bay. He's missed some throws where you just go, wow, but you know, the Baker Mayfield I saw last year, that would have been right on the money. So he's been a little errant with his accuracy. But I think the big thing that's jumped out to me more than anything with the Titans game and then yesterday with the Jets is I think people are testing Baker Mayfield and, you know, his youngness and immaturity as far as just being a true first-year full starter as a quarterback. A lot of different looks. That's what jumped out to me about the Tennessee Titans film last week when I watched it. And then last night, you know, I haven't watched that film yet, Doug, but, you know, you watched it. You saw how many people Greg Williams is putting at the line of scrimmage. Are they blitzing? Are they going to drop out? Just different looks to where I think right now this will be a common theme where teams are going to go, let's see if we can continue to test this kid to get everybody on the same page on the offensive side of the ball. They got a lot of moving parts. Can he get all the protection right? And I think within that, that's made him also a little unsure of himself and led to some of those errant throws and just bad decisions that we've seen.
Let's get to the story of the day. Chris Sims joins us on Fox Sports Radio. Eli Manning's been benched for Daniel Jones. The timing appears to be a little bit curious. What's your reaction?
Well, I'm shocked, I think, is the first thing. I just did not think that. I thought the Giants, who have shown, you know, blind loyalty to Eli really over the last 4 and 5 years, like he could do no wrong. I thought they'd give him a few more chances to fail, honestly. I really did. But I think overall what they're looking at, and they're trying to build something for the future here too, they probably have looked at the first 2 weeks of film and said, man, it's hard to sell to our team that we're trying to win the game with the way Eli's played. And I know there's more issues than just Eli, but with the way Eli's played, and yet we have this guy behind him who is just physically better than Eli at this point. And because we're undermanned and maybe not that good, we might need to rely on a guy that could make a throw that Eli can't or escape the pocket and run that Eli can't. And I think that's ultimately what's probably leading them into the decision. I'm surprised it happened this early. But regardless, you know, it's hard to argue with the timing. I mean, hey, the writing's been on the wall for Eli Manning here, I think, for the last few years. And I know it's tough, and I don't like saying that about Eli Manning. I got tremendous respect for the player, the human being, all of that. Greatest quarterback in Giants history. You know, he's a legend. But, you know, I just think it's the end of the road, and all good things come to an end.
Chris Sims is our guest. All right, what about Daniel Jones? Likely he was maybe in the conversation the best quarterbacks in the preseason.
Right.
They take on the Buccaneers in the road, then the Redskins at home before they get the Vikings and the Patriots. So he gets two games. I wouldn't say easier, but first game's a road start against a kind of surprising Buccaneers squad in terms of how well they played last Thursday night. How do you think they match up with the Bucs?
Yeah, well, you know, they match up with the Bucs okay. I mean, the Bucs, the defense, they're a young team on the defensive side of the ball. They got some young talent. I would think that's probably, Doug, part of the reasoning why they're throwing him in there this week. Okay, this is a game that, you know, we could possibly win. It's not an overwhelmingly talented defense to where, you know, we're putting a rookie quarterback in an impossible situation. You know, at this point in time, Tampa Bay playing down there on the road is not exactly like, you know, being known for like being in Seattle. And I say that with all due respect to the Buccaneers fans, because I love Tampa Bay and all that. But yeah, there's just not great energy in believe there quite yet. I think that would be part of the decision of why they started him. So, again, the Giants have a lot of issues. It's not just Eli Manning. I mean, hey, in his defense, we know receivers are banged up, along with, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. not being there. And the other thing I would really question about the Giants more than anything on their team right now, other than Eli Manning, would be their secondary. I mean, their secondary is nothing special. And then when you have a nothing special secondary with no legit pass rusher on the front line, that's going to lead to some disaster and some big plays by offensive teams. But I would think that the Buccaneers not being that great, not being a tough environment to go in, is all part of the reason why Daniel Jones is being thrusted into it, along with the Redskins the week after, like you said, who, you know, are sitting there 0-2 and certainly not being considered as one of the best teams in the NFC.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Interesting that Pittsburgh went and traded for Minka Fitzpatrick.
Yes.
Considering, I don't know, we felt like their season was lost without Ben Roethlisberger. What's your reaction?
Yeah, I was surprised too. I really was. I mean, is Minka Fitzpatrick going to fix the problems that the Pittsburgh Steelers have right now? Do we even know really what Minka Fitzpatrick is as an NFL player yet? You know, we don't even know what position he really plays. That was the problem of him coming out in the NFL draft that teams were scared of. You know, is he a safety? Is he a nickelback? Is he a corner that goes on the outside? You know, obviously being played out of position with Miami in the box is like a strong safety. He didn't like that. And, you know, I think that's not his natural position. But, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers, yes, they're more than one player away right now. I mean, they need more offensive weapons. I mean, they need to figure out a way to run the football. And again, I think the big thing I look at with the Minka Fitzpatrick thing and just the unknown about him in the secondary, you know, we've been talking about this for a while. Pittsburgh can't play man-to-man coverage. It's been an issue there for quite some time, and they were a little better last year, and I thought, ooh, maybe they'll improve as this year continues. But, you know, Minka Fitzpatrick's not the type of guy that you're going to sit there and go, hey, you go out there and cover Odell Beckham Jr. for 60 snaps, you know, one-on-one, and we'll be fine. No, that's not what he is. You know, it's kind of another zone secondary type of guy. Good player, certainly, but I was surprised by it. But obviously, you know, Doug, I don't know, and you tell me wrong. You know, maybe there is some logic here to where they just feel like they're still building for the future. Maybe they still feel like, hey, Big Ben will be back, and we got him for two more years, and we're just putting some, we're getting a piece right now that we feel like can help us out. But I think it's certainly dangerous with the fact that they, right now, I mean, they could have a top 10, top 15 pick in the draft, and they just traded that away, I think, for kind of an unproven commodity to this point.
What do you think of Mason Rudolph?
I like Mason Rudolph. I was not in love with him coming out of the draft. He did look good last week. I will give him that. You know, I always kind of questions his ability to be like a special thrower of the football. He is big. He's a pretty good athlete. But I never looked at it and went, oh, he can make game-changing throws and plays. Hopefully he can prove me wrong. But Pittsburgh, Ben Roethlisberger, Mason Rudolph, whoever it is, they got to find a different formula on the offensive side of the ball. It just can't be shotgun, we're going to throw screens and take an occasional shot down the field. You know, it's different personnel there, and there's nobody that scares you. Juju's really good, but as you know, Juju's not the type of guy that you just line up outside and defenses go, oh my gosh, if we don't double team him, he's going to run for 80-yard bombs over our head. No, he's more of a really great number two or a low-end number one. You want him to work the middle of the field. He's going to catch some contested 50-50 balls and back shoulder balls on the outside. So, you know, Mason Rudolph, the Pittsburgh Steelers, going after the West Coast and San Francisco, who's a very, or not a very good team, but definitely a good team and a good defense. I don't expect them to win that game out there.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Another day, another weird Antonio Brown story. Like, literally, there's one every day. It's really kind of remarkable.
Yeah.
Brady still appears to be all in. They used him a bunch and tried to find ways, you know, with, you know, 25 snaps or so, and really, especially first drive, tried to get him the football. But you've worked in New England. At what point do they go, dude, enough is enough? I mean, this is just a lot.
I think if it's something a little bit more substantial, one more thing of just, you know, again, and I have, you know, it's a tough situation. He's a knucklehead. You know, I mean, from the looks of things here, I mean, he doesn't have one screw loose. He's got two screws loose. And you know, I had always been told certain things coming out of Pittsburgh, that he was a lot more of a handful than the public realized, and I had known for years that he had been missing meetings and walking out of the building whenever he likes, and kind of just, walking to his own beat of the drum or whatever the hell you say there. But I think what's concerning to me is just over the last year and a half, we've seen a lot of that filter over to outside the football field, whether it's, you know, stiffing people on owing them money, you know, throwing furniture off the balcony, threatening to punch the Sports Illustrated writer in the jaw because he was finding some incriminating things about Antonio Brown. I mean, I'm like you. I'm kind of sick of talking about the guy. Phenomenal football player, but certainly not a phenomenal human being. But I do think if there was, like, you know, one more substantial thing, and whatever that may be, that he could be in trouble with New England, where they just might go, you know what, we don't need you. We're kind of good without you, even though you're awesome and you certainly improve our chances. I think one more, you know, chink in the armor there, as they say, would really hurt him in the eyes of Mr. Kraft and Bill Belichick.
Wondering a little bit, Chris Sims, our guest on Fox Sports Radio, wondering a little bit about Lamar Jackson. Obviously, yeah. The numbers are amazing, but the Dolphins are horrific.
Right.
And frankly, Arizona's not very good either.
Right.
A little bit stiffer test against Kansas City this weekend.
Yes.
But I'm just wondering how real what you're seeing is and how much of it, hey, it's the first 4 weeks and people are going to adjust and these are two of the worst teams in the NFL.
Yeah, I err more on this is real right now. And I'm like you, I was, you know, 50-50 after the Dolphins game, you know. And again, we got to give him credit. I mean, we give Tom Brady credit for carving him up last week. We got to give credit to Lamar Jackson carving him up week one. I just got done watching that film, so that's a good thing. I think it is real, Doug. I really do. Now, again, you're right. The Arizona Cardinals, certainly nothing special on defense, but I don't think I'm ready to anoint the Kansas City Chiefs defense as something special yet either. Now, it's improved from last year in Kansas City. There's no doubt about it. Their defense gives them a fighting chance for the first time in a while, and I think that's encouraging. But this is, to me, if I just had to get X's and O's a little with you about what I see from Baltimore, they really put you in a bind. And then they put you in a bind defensively to where they give the Baltimore Ravens offenses some really, like, optimal looks to strike in the passing game. Why? Well, because of Lamar Jackson's skill set and their hulking huge offensive line that you have to defend. So they're going to get, and this is like the Cam Newton factor when he was in his prime, because you had to worry about so many different things that they did behind the line of scrimmage with Cam Newton. You couldn't be funky or creative or crazy with your coverages because you knew if we do something crazy and double this guy over here and this guy turns his back to double somebody else, Cam Newton might keep the ball and then he runs for 50 yards right down the middle of our defense and we're screwed. And that's what Lamar Jackson does. He kind of handcuffs defenses with this little system they have as far as running the ball and then his skill set. Defenses are going to tend to play it simple and safe just so they know, okay, we're in our gaps for the run game and we're not going to mess up. They shift in motion a lot in Baltimore. So within that, they really create some favorable passing looks for Lamar Jackson. And Doug, the throws are real. You know, I saw enough throws in this game last week. He missed a few, certainly, but man, he made some that I went, wow. I mean, those are jaw droppers where I just went, holy cow. I mean, that a way to throw it, Lamar. That a way to throw the laser right down the middle of the field between two guys. There's enough in there that I think this is real. Whether he keeps up this pace or not, I don't know, but I think he is becoming a quarterback right in front of our eyes.
Last thing, Teddy Bridgewater did not look like he was ready, like he was sharp.
No.
They paid a bunch of money to hold on to him.
Yeah.
I do think people forget that when he's in Minnesota, he was managing games
exactly,
before he got hurt.
Right.
Can the Saints hang on and hang around with Drew Brees out?
Yeah, I do think they can because they have a great coach in Sean Payton. They got a good offensive line. They got a great defensive line where you're not going to be able to run the football on them consistently. Now, they're going to start Teddy Bridgewater, I'm sure, this week. I'm sure we'll see a little Taysom Hill. But I think eventually Taysom Hill should be the guy. In fact, I mean, if I was Sean Payton, I'll just say it to you right now, I would start Taysom Hill. You got Seattle and Dallas next week. And it's Seattle on the road. You got to give your team a schematical advantage. And just what I saw from Taysom Hill in the preseason, Doug, it went from, okay, yeah, this is just a great athlete who can throw the ball deep every now and then, to, whoa, this guy's playing quarterback now and making like every throw in the book and sitting in the pocket and going through reads. And, you know, I know Sean Payton's made comparisons to Steve Young. And, you know, I just would not be shocked that if the first two quarters go a little shaky up there in Seattle with Teddy Bridgewater, if we don't see the Taysom Hill show and era begin there. Because I know this is Sean Payton's like baby. This is his pet right here, his little science experiment. And I think Taysom Hill has a pretty special skill set that can really stress defenses out, just like we talked with Lamar Jackson. They can do all those creative things and really create a lot of optimal looks for what they want to do in the pass game and make it easy on him that way too, to where he doesn't have to read maybe the intricate coverages that Drew Brees might have to face and all of that.
Last thing, you had a splenectomy. You had your spleen removed.
Right.
I mean, one of the big things for Darnold in terms of when he comes back is his spleen.
Yes.
What does the spleen even do? How dangerous is it to play with a potentially swollen spleen?
Yeah, well, the spleen, it's the biggest thing is it fights infection and disease. It's a big part of your immune system. It filters your blood. So because I don't have mine, that is, my immune system is certainly compromised. I have to get vaccinations every 3 years for the rest of my life, things like that. You know, the enlarged spleen is not going to be the issue. He could play with that. The danger is that when it's enlarged, you know, there's more opportunity for it to, you know, get hurt or, you know, scar it, you know, bruise it, get a hematoma, whatever it may be. And I think that's the ultimate thing, is they don't want to put him in danger to where he hurts his spleen and then they have to do a splenectomy and take it out, and then you have a whole world of problems there in general, and let alone mononucleosis. I mean, your energy levels are really low and all that too. Now, I didn't have that. I just took a straight shot to the spleen. But I feel for my man Sam Darnold, because this is, you know, a chance for him to grow and continue to get better in this Adam Gase offense. And, of course, the Jets, they need him right now, and they're kind of beat up and banged up. But, you know, I'm rooting for him to get back out there soon. But, yeah, certainly you don't want to lose your spleen. I got a big scar down the middle of my stomach, and my six-pack has been messed up ever since.
Yeah, that's really the issue with the six-pack, not the dad bod. Nothing.
You know, right, right. I have an excuse always. So when everybody, like, sees me in a bathing suit, they're like, oh, you're not as like ripped up as I thought. I want to be like, oh, well, I used to have a six pack, but now, you know, I have a huge scar there that really messed up, and people buy that, so I just go with that.
Good enough. Good man. Yep. Thanks so much, Chris.
You're the man, Doug. Talk to you, dude.
Chris Sims, Football Night in America, NBC Sports.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
The Chicago Bears kicking deal is really amazing. Really, really amazing. Right? Like, last year, they signed Cody Parkey. Now, Parkey, if you go back to before last season, he was the most sought-after free agent kicker in the NFL. Matter of fact, the only reason he left the Miami Dolphins, and he's from Florida originally, was because the Dolphins just didn't have the money to keep him. But of course, he struggled. He struggled. And, you know, then under cover of darkness, he was kicking at Soldier Field as he felt like he was struggling with the conditions there, with the footing there. And ultimately, they end up parting company. So then they had this open kicker competition, and one name emerged, Eddie Pinheiro. And Eddie Pinheiro was, you know, let's just hope, if you're a Chicago Bear fan, right? Let's just hope. You had the double doink in week one, and you're just hoping that week two in Denver brings some clarity. So what does he do? He kicks a game-winning field goal, and now he's the hero for all of Chicagoland. What's this been like? Let's catch up with Eddie Pinheiro of the Chicago Bears. He joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Eddie, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, Doug?
Good, man. I want to get to what life's like now, but when you first showed up in Chicago, how many other kickers were there?
So when I first got here, there was two guys. It was Elliot and Chris, and then before that, I heard there was like eight or nine. So
you show up, and what's a kicking competition actually like?
It's pretty crazy. I mean, you go out, you hit some field goals. They're charting every single field goal. And they're charting every kick, and whoever has a better day. I mean, has a better day that day, and that's how it goes.
Did you know that you were the guy? Did you have that much better a day?
You know, when I first got here, I was kicking pretty good. But, I mean, Elliot is a really good kicker as well. I mean, it came down to me and Elliot in preseason, and he's a really good, accurate kicker as well. And, I mean, I had no doubt that I was their guy since the beginning. Like I said, I performed well, you know, in the kicking competitions and stuff that we had. So, yeah.
All right. So take me through, against the Bears, you made your first, you know, your first kick, first NFL field goal, a 38 yarder. What's that feeling like? Like, look, you're a good kicker in college at Florida. Obviously, it's not your first time kicking a field goal, but to do it in the NFL and to do it for the Chicago Bears, what was that like?
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, you know, there was a lot of pressure build up, and, you know, is this guy going to come through for us? Is he not going to come through for us? And, you know, I mean, that first kick meant a lot to me, you know, not just to me, but, you know, to my family, to the team. And yeah, I mean, it was an emotional kick. So.
Okay, so now fast forward to the Denver game, right? Denver, yep. They're down a point. They go for two. You're standing over in the sideline. What were you thinking?
You know, I was. I usually do my same routine. I was just there, you know, hitting some footballs against the net, and you know, just started praying. Hopefully, getting this opportunity. I was craving the opportunity. I wanted to show everybody, you know, that I'm a good kicker. I'm not just an average kicker. I wanted to show everybody that I could be the best kicker. So, I mean, it was awesome that I was able to make that kick. And yeah.
How do you control your nerves? How do you control your nerves? Like you're standing over there in the sideline and you're watching, yeah. You know, you're watching your team try and march down the field and getting you into field goal range. How do you like control your breathing and not, you know, get too excited to where you're not doing your job?
Yeah. Like I said, you know, I'm just out there just on the nets and just hitting some balls into the nets, and I'm talking to, you know, Patty and, you know, just positive vibes, and we felt like it was coming, and it was pretty crazy. Like I had a smile on my face the whole time because I knew it was just weird. I just really knew that I was gonna make that kick, and I don't know if it's a confidence thing or what it is, but I just had a really good feeling just running out to the field. Like, wow, like I feel like I'm about to make this kick, you know, like it was a pretty cool feeling.
Yeah, plus there was like right before you got a chance to kick, the whistle blew and there was zeros on the clock, and you're like, wait, I might not get a chance. Like that range of emotions. I'm just wondering, you know, you're over there like, all right, just give me a shot.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, 4th and 15. And then it looks like, yeah, are you able to maintain focus? Or are you watching all of this craziness that goes on?
Yeah. You know, unfortunately I am watching the whole craziness. I mean, you're a part of the game. You're seeing what's going on, you know. When there was 0 seconds on the clock, I was kind of pissed. I was like, wow, like, I can't believe, like, my shot's gone. Like, I wanted to make this kick, like, and then when everything came back and, like, oh, put 1 second back on the clock, I instantly went from, like, pissed to, like, oh, hell yeah, like, this is it. Like, it's happening, you know? It was awesome. It was a great feeling.
All right, so you trot out there. 53 yards in Denver is, like, what in Chicago or what in Florida? You know, what's that? You know, we're always told altitude affects a kick. How much does it affect it?
Well, I mean, a lot of people think, I mean, I felt it, you know, I didn't really feel it too much on field goals. I felt it more on kickoffs. And, you know, I talked to Brandon McManus, the kicker for Denver, and he's like, hey, you know, this is your first time kicking. You know, in pregame, I asked him, you know, what's the wind do? What's it like? This and that, trying to get some tips, you know. And he pretty much told me, listen, you won't really feel it as much on field goals. You'll feel it more on kickoffs. But, yeah, like on field goals, I mean, if it didn't feel too much different. I mean, it flies a little bit more. But, I mean, on kickoffs, you can definitely feel it a lot more. So
you trot out there and you kick it. By the way, what was the bracelet you were wearing on your right wrist?
Oh, it's just a cross. I have two crosses on my wrist.
You say a prayer before you kick? What's your routine?
Always, man. I always said a prayer and... You know, I'm a religious person, and I always feel like, you know, if it's meant to happen, it's meant to happen. It's already written, and, you know, I'm just enjoying the ride.
Pretty good 24th birthday present. Did you get anything else other than getting yourself a 53-yard field goal that keeps you employed?
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much what I got. I mean, my parents aren't a big birthday people, so, I mean, I just got some good text messages and some hugs and kisses. That's all. So.
Eddie DeNiro Pinheiro joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so on the way to Denver, who did you sit with in the plane?
So the good thing is I got my own seat. Everybody gets their own seat.
Well, I didn't expect you to sit on the wing, dude. I'm just not like, yeah, we like is it just seat. You, the punter, the long snapper, you guys just hiding out, trying to duck out, or were you in the mix of the guys?
No, we're in the mix of the guys, but we get our own seat.
Okay. So coming back, I would guess they're like, now you're kind of one of the guys, right? Before, you were just the kicker. Now, was it different on the flight home?
I mean, it was pretty cool. I mean, yeah, like, you know, the head coach came up to me and talked to me on the plane, and the players were coming up to me and just congratulating me and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, Tyreek was like, hey, you want the first, because Tyreek had the first class seat. He's like, hey, you want my first class seat? I was like, no, man, I'm good, man. I appreciate it. People were like offering me their first class seat and stuff. It was pretty cool. Yeah, pretty cool experience.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. Coolest text you got after making that kick?
Coolest text that I got? I mean, for me, emotionally, probably my dad, you know, from everything we've been through and the whole kicking situation and him waking me up early and getting me ready to be the kicker that I am and feeding and, you know, me feeding off his mindset since he was a professional soccer player. So, I mean, that was, to me, the coolest text was my dad just saying he was proud of me and I'm so proud of you from all the stuff you've been through with Chicago and the kicking situation, everything, and you overcame it and stuff. So that was probably, to me, the best text.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Eddie, congrats. Happy birthday. And
Appreciate it. Thanks
so much for joining us. I guess now you can unpack in Chicago for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, for a little bit until next game, right?
Until next game. Thanks, Eddie.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Eddie Pinheiro joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show.